You will never be caught in a situation that you cannot defend yourself, because the Lord is there and He will let you know things to come. He will show you. He will be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. And you and I, as His children, will reign forever and ever 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 and ever. And then more of that.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, December 1st, 2024. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, The Joy of Baptism. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
This is a day to celebrate those who've been baptized in water. Wasn't this wonderful? To see men and women come to the place in their lives where they will be disciples of Jesus Christ. Not just Christians who've made a decision, but Christians who become disciples of Christ. One of the great omissions in the church today is discipleship. We forget how important discipleship is. Discipleship is a lot more than just simply saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. It means you live the life of Jesus Christ. So today, our brothers and sisters were baptized in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we welcome all of you to a life that holds unimaginable rewards, not just in the life to come, but right now. The opportunity to live for Jesus Christ and to see Christ manifested in your life in ways you thought you would never see. Because baptism in water is the first act of obedience. It is the first act of obedience towards being a disciple of Jesus Christ. First step of becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. I know that there are some of you who have not been baptized and you're still following the Lord, but you need to go back and we need to take care of you, you know, so you can line yourself up. You can live the life without baptism, but baptism is something that every child of God would want to be. It's a line of demarcation. It is a proclamation to the world that God has done something inside of me, and now I'm showing it off outside. And it means a lifelong journey of learning, a lifelong life of growing and living in the service of God and in the service of His church and the world around you. It is a wonderful opportunity to embark in a journey that the Lord takes you. But it's essential that you and I understand, and not just those who have been baptized, but all of us, that discipleship is not a passive experience, but it's an active and an intentional pursuit of becoming more like Christ. Not more like a church, but more like Christ. Not more like a religion, but more like Christ. Christ now is the center of your life. And it involves a transformation of a whole person. It's just unbelievable. Your mind, your heart, your soul. You make a commitment to live under the reign of God and God's kingdom. So you have done a tremendous act of goodwill, and you've done a tremendous act of faith, and you position yourself to be a revolutionary where you live, because discipleship is lived where you live. It is right there. It's not just coming to church. It's every single day of your life. And I need to tell you, though, that discipleship is really practiced in community. You understand that you're supported through spiritual disciplines that help you become more and more real. You grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, just a short time, because time's gone, but it's just a short framework of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Principles that you who have been baptized today need to follow, and you will follow, and you have been following it. First of all, discipleship, brothers and sisters, is learning by doing. Think of that. Discipleship is an active process that you live out the teachings of Jesus Christ. You're not just learning about them, you're actually doing them, doing them. Dallas Willard, a great gentleman, a theologian that deals with the issues of discipleship, says that discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if He were you. Let me just say that again. Discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. What a revolutionary statement, and what a thought to catch in your heart. Because see, that's exactly what this is all about. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. There is this process of the life of Christ embedded in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, that when people see you, they say, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And so what happens is that when God begins to work in your life this way, there's a change. Jesus begins to change every aspect of your life. You find out that his actions and his character and his attitudes are being transferred to you. You don't act in the anger that you used to. You forgive when things go wrong. You have a docile spirit to listen to the voice of God. And it's amazing how Christ becomes real in your life through your actions and not just your thoughts. It's also a life of obedience. Not obedience in a bad way, but simply understanding what God wants you to do and applying them to your life. That you will do what the Lord speaks to your heart to do because you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And we could go into tons of details as to the things the Lord wants you to do, but you're going to have to figure that out by yourself by asking the Lord, Lord, how can I be more like you? And this is the process of discipleship, that you and I are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives into the image of Jesus Christ. You will. It's a lifelong process, though. It doesn't come from one day to the next, but it becomes God working in your life in such a way that your hearts and your minds and your actions are more like Jesus. People will look at you and they need to say, I see Jesus in that person's life. I can see that they're not doing things that they used to do. There's a change in their lives, and that change is Jesus in the heart. Something else, it's a life that transforms the whole person. Because you see, when you come to Christ and you follow him, you and I become disciples of the Master of the Masters. And all of a sudden, the transformation is such that your desires cease to be self-centered. All of a sudden, the selfish impulses change towards God-centered impulses. Your desire to serve God, your passions reflect the heart of Jesus Christ. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, there's a song, all I ask is to be like him. And to be like him means this character transformation. It's not behavior modification, it's character transformation. There is a transformation that takes place in your heart that all of a sudden, how is it that I live this way? Because Christ is in your heart and you live a right life before him. You'll have your ups, you'll have your downs, but there's a God who is giving you a new center of action, a new center of gravity, and you measure yourself by the dealings of the Holy Spirit in your heart as you go through the Word. Something else, too, which is so important, that all of a sudden you find out that God's kingdom is a present reality today, that discipleship involves entering to the kingdom of God and living under the rule of God. And you understand that there is a kingdom that's available to you that offers you everything you will ever need. And that's a wonderful experience. To experience God's kingdom in afterlife is wonderful. But I'm here to tell you, you can experience the kingdom of God, God's rule in your life today, this very same day. The kingdom of God is a present reality in your life. I'm saying discipleship means entering into a vast ocean of resources, into a world unknown to you today, but it's available to all of you. Jesus came preaching, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The power of God is there. God is available, making it available to you and to me to live the right life and to serve God forever and ever and ever. And that will happen. Not only will you be changed, but also the world will change around you. You will be able to reflect God's love and God's mercy and God's justice. You'll become an agent of a kingdom that will never perish. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but not Jesus. He will be forever there. And you stand in a place of great strength and great power so that you can be doing good for God's people and the world around you. So we avail ourselves through the disciplines, and we begin to understand that God deals with you or with me in different ways. And so he begins to give you grace, grace that is there for you to use. The scripture says to grow in the knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace of God, it gives you a new rhythm in life. It gives you a new way of looking at things. And the disciplines in the Christian life, and some of those disciplines are well known. Prayer, for instance, is a discipline. You go and you pray, and it's not just a routine, shall we say, religious recital of something that may be meaningful, but now it's much more meaningful. All of a sudden, you're having a conversation with God, and prayer is not a give me God, but prayer is a time you spend in the presence of God. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful communion that you experience with the Lord. You read the Bible as another way of experiencing the disciplines. You read the scriptures. You meditate in the word of the Lord. Some of you may even go as far as to fast, where you stay away from food and you dedicate that time to the Lord. Then there's something very important for all of us to eventually do in our life as disciples of Christ, and that's solitude. And that's what we call solitude and silence, where you separate yourself for an hour or two, sometimes half a day. Some people do it for a full day, where you're all by yourself. You seek God in silence. I mean, there's so many noises and so many voices. Quiet reflection in the presence of the Lord, listening to God, listening with your spiritual ears, you will understand God's dictums to you and to your heart. And it's a way of detaching yourself from all the stuff that pulls you to the right and to the left, that up and down. You just simply listen to the voice of God. And what can we say about service? Service is another way that we, shall we say, practice disciplines, because we use our gifts and resources that God has given us, and we look for the needs of others. And so God blesses you as you give. And this one more thing I'd like to say this Sunday morning, that discipleship is practicing community. It means that you and I cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot be, you know, lone ranger disciples. No, there is no such thing as that. We learn by doing, as I said before. Secondly, we are transformed. The whole life is transformed in our hearts. Thirdly, the kingdom of God is there available to you and to me for all the resources that we would need. We practice spiritual disciplines. We pray. We read the Bible. We come to church. We give. We serve. We're involved in a community effort. But it's done in such a way that we have other people around us that can help us do a better job. We say we cannot follow Christ alone, the theologian said. We need the support, and we need the encouragement and challenge of others in the body of Christ to grow into his likeness. Sometimes coming to church is a challenge. How many would say that? Yeah, especially when you see somebody's face you don't like that much. But it is a challenge that we come to church and we meet people and we see ourselves in their image. We do. We see our likeness in them. It's hard sometimes to go there and to face ourselves, but we do that. And it's part of the process of becoming children of God, but more than that, disciples of Jesus Christ. And there's something about coming to church and serving and learning from one another that creates authentic spiritual friendships. A community that practices love, that practices forgiveness, and gives you a great opportunity to practice patience. Look at one another and say, I'm going to have patience with you. You know, well, you know, it's a... And it's, you know, the old saying, I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites. And what we always say is there's room for one more. You know, I mean, it's the idea of thinking that you are so perfect. You come and you find yourself deficient in areas. And all of a sudden you say, well, this is why I'm here. Iron shapes iron. And you come and you face your humanity. And that facing of humanity helps you, because the church, brothers and sisters, is the community to those who are called to live the life of the kingdom of God together. So you who have been baptized today, I just gave you a lecture that takes me 6 weeks at the university. You got it in 20 minutes. I hope you picked it all up. But basically what I'm saying is that you have entered into a new level of responsibility, but it's a glorious responsibility, a wonderful responsibility, and a wonderful opportunity to be people who count, people who matter, people who will make a difference. Not only will it be a difference in your own life, but in life of those who are around you. So I say to you, wonderful. I just mentioned to you five key ideas on discipleship, illustrating how each one of them can help you. You will be learning. You will be learners. Look, learning from Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the world. I have read many books, and you probably will read many theological books, but there's nothing like learning directly from the Lord. Listen to me. One thing is to learn it from a book. Another thing is to learn it directly from Him. And you must take time to spend with Him, for Him to teach you how to deal with the issues you face today. He will teach you. He is the disciple maker. We follow Him. Now, maybe this morning there are people who are troubled and people who have issues in life and difficulties, and they need to somehow, some way, find an answer to their dilemmas, and you've tried this and you've tried the other. Jesus said the following, "Come unto me, all of you who are tired and burdensome and fed up and angry and whatever. Come to me and I will give you rest." But it's more than that. He says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me." And the yoke in those old New Testament times meant more than just the yoke of what we'd call a beast of burden with a yoke. It meant that, but it meant something else. Rabbis had a yoke of learning, a body of knowledge that they impart to the disciples. So Jesus says, "Take my body of knowledge. I am going to teach you how to live your life. I'm going to help you live right. So listen to me," he said. "I will give you rest." I tell you, there's nothing like being a disciple of Jesus Christ who will constantly be there to help you, and you will never be sabotaged in your life. You will never be caught in a situation that you cannot defend yourself, because the Lord is there and He will let you know things to come. He will show you. He will be with you forever and ever and ever and ever. And you and I, as His children, will reign forever and ever 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 and ever. And then more of that. Disciples of Jesus Christ follow the Lord, and we hear His voice and we listen to what He says. And as we walk the path, you and I will be much better people. You have an incredible journey ahead of yourselves. You have an adventure, a great adventure, a wonderful adventure, a marvelous adventure, a glorious adventure. Okay, you'll have an adventure because you're following Jesus Christ, disciples of Jesus Christ. May God bless you who've been baptized. And next Sunday we'll give you a certificate. And you'll come up here and we'll give that to you and we'll pray for you again. But I just want you to know that those who have not been baptized, that should be baptized, you need to let us know, because you need to make this step and allow the journey to begin in dimensions that you never thought possible. All of it for the glory of Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And another amen?
Amen.
And another hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And will you stand? Nothing is greater than to serve the Lord and to follow Him. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I just thank You for those who were baptized today. And I thank You for all of those who are following You as well. I pray that this would be a departing time where in their hearts and in their lives, they would come to a new dimension of strength. Father, as we prepare ourselves for communion, we pray that you would receive our prayer, that you will receive our praise, that you will receive from our hearts a sincere desire to follow you. Lord Jesus, on the night you were betrayed, you knew what was going to happen. It was an awful day, and yet you made it a wonderful day. You provided for us to remember. So, Lord, we remember you today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
And he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so
communion is one of the second, ideally, two sacraments that we have in our church ordinances. One of them is baptism, which we had this morning, and the second is communion. Scripture says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Will you take the bread and will you eat the bread in remembrance of the Lord? In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Will you take the cup and will you drink it in remembrance of the Lord? For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Church, I was concerned we were going to dismiss at 1 o'clock, but we're not. It's early. So this is the day may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.